It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Venary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Geiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercat's very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
Fresh off of running down to the store to buy his $1.6 billion winning lottery ticket, Riley Gates is with us to talk K-State athletics. But after he wins the lottery, we may not have him on the show anymore. Hey, Riley, how's it going?
Good. I should probably play it if I want to win it. I keep forgetting. I seriously work within walking distance of a gas station. I go down there at least once every couple days to get some energy drinks, and I still have yet to buy a ticket. I keep forgetting. So I really need to try to remember to do that, because you literally cannot win if you do not play.
It's an important component of winning the lottery is buying a ticket. You are correctly right, Riley. You're right.
So I'm told.
Yes, exactly. That, or you just become some long-lost relative of one of the winners, and maybe you can cash in as well, because the person that wins this thing is going to have so much money hand over fist, they're just going to be handing out $100 bills to everybody on the street. So maybe that'll work for you, too. I don't know.
I'll knock on wood on that one. We'll see how
that one goes. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, K-State, after a week off to get ready for Oklahoma this weekend, 2 weeks to prepare. I kind of look at this K-State-Oklahoma game in two ways. I think it's a good matchup for K-State in some ways, because K-State's strength the last few weeks is running the football. Oklahoma, their defense isn't very good. It's not good against the run either, so that you could melt, you could eat clock, you could shorten the game, and limit the possessions. But I was at the Oklahoma-Army game earlier this year, Riley, where Oklahoma had the ball for all of 15 minutes. Army had the ball for 87 plays, Oklahoma 40, and Oklahoma still won in overtime. So that seems like a solid philosophy if K-State could do that. If they could have the ball 45 minutes against Oklahoma, you like their chances to win, but Oklahoma's offense is so good, that doesn't really assure you of anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you don't necessarily know if that time of possession is going to come into play here when you have an offense like Oklahoma has. I mean, they just have so many weapons. You know, Kyler Murray has really, really come into his own this year. And I'll admit, I was a little bit skeptical of his ability to come in and take over this role for Baker Mayfield, because you can be really good, but if you're trying to replace a guy like Baker Mayfield and a Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, that's pretty hard to do, you know. So I was really skeptical, I think. But I think he's done a really good job. You know, the Oklahoma offense has certainly thrived, and I think that's a lot due to Lincoln Riley just kind of getting more of a grasp on the team as a whole, you know, now being the head coach for 2 years. And you mentioned that defense, you know, it's not great, but they did fire Coach Stoops out of the defensive coordinator position, and I think that maybe changed some things. I think it brought new life. I think it's a lot like that interim effect you see a lot of time, you know, when KU fired Charlie Weiss and brought in Bowen, when they brought in Clint Bowen to be the interim, KU played better. So, you know, I think that has a lot to do with kind of the way that, you know, they played really well last week against TCU's offense. And so we'll see kind of how it goes. I would expect K-State to try to run the ball just because, like you said, that is kind of what they do best. That is how they win games. But also I think that you're going to have to be able to throw the ball as well, because I think Oklahoma is not going to be stupid, and they're going to know you're going to want to run the ball. They're going to stack that box really tight.
What is interesting about this, the recent history between K-State and Oklahoma on the gridiron, is that K-State has much more success in Norman than they do in Manhattan. Although, last year, first year as head coach for Lincoln Riley, came into Manhattan. I was at that game. It was a fun game. And K-State had opportunities to win it and had a lead for a good portion of the game against a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Baker Mayfield and a high-octane offense. And believe it or not, they did it with Alex Delton at quarterback. So if they can do that last year against Oklahoma's team, why can't K-State do something special this year at Norman and be in the ballgame? With Skylar Thompson,
question,
a quarterback instead of Delton.
Yeah, you know, that's a big question right now, and maybe they can, perhaps. You know, I just think it's so weird to say that they're better on the road than they are at home against Oklahoma. But, you know, stats do point to that, but also you got to take into account which teams have gone in Norman and come out with wins there. So I guess the reason that maybe this one's a little different, and I hate to keep pinning it on this receiving core, but, you know, it doesn't exactly give Skylar Thompson a lot to work with just because there isn't those, you know, Dominique Heath, Byron Pringle to take focus off the other guys. And I think that Oklahoma has better athletes in the secondary than K-State has at the wide receiver position, thus kind of shutting down the passing attack. And then, all you have to do is really stack the box and try to stop the run. But, you know, I do think that this isn't unwinnable. I still think this K-State offense is it does have some talent, and I think they can piece together a really good game. It's just haven't necessarily seen them do it. You know, they played pretty well against Oklahoma State last week, but it's a little bit unclear of how good of an Oklahoma State team this really is. You know, I'm trying to get people to pump the brakes a little bit, because I think that while K-State played a really, really good game against Oklahoma State, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for Oklahoma, had they lost Oklahoma State, it would be, you know, the sky is still falling, everybody needs to go, et cetera, et cetera. And I just think that a lot of people have suddenly shifted their tune on this team because of one win, where kind of everything went right. So I'm still very skeptical about this team's ability to go in and compete with a talented team like Oklahoma.
Well, to me, it's pretty simple. For K-State to win this game, they have to, one, they can't get behind. They have to jump out early and then play ball control and then limit the big play. And really, honestly, nobody has limited Oklahoma in the big play other than Army, from the standpoint of they had the ball for 45 minutes. Oklahoma still had a lot of big plays and 15 minutes of possession time. Texas didn't exactly really stop or slow down the Oklahoma offense either. It was OU's defense was so bad. So give me the scenario. What has to happen, in your opinion, for K-State to pull off the upset with 2 weeks to prepare for Oklahoma?
Oh, I think you're going to have to create turnovers. You know, that's one thing we've seen this K-State defense not do a whole lot of this year. And it's kind of funny that I say that after a game where Duke Shelley gets two interceptions and everything like that. But I think you're going to have to force Kyler Murray to throw some interceptions, or, you know, maybe get some backup running backs to be putting the ball on the ground. You know, they are a little bit depleted at the running back position. So I think that that'll be key. Things like that. And then also, on the flip side, you can't be making those turnovers. You know, Skylar Thompson can't throw those passes that he threw at Baylor this last week, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me. Those risky double coverage passes like that, he just can't be doing that. And then it's also going to take some special things, you know, like maybe a kick return or a punt return, something like that. You know, I just don't think this team is good enough to go into Norman and beat them straight up. They're going to have to, like I said, force those turnovers, or get a touchdown in special teams, an area that you don't really expect to score in all the time. So something like that to kind of throw the rhythm of the game off, something to really kind of get you a leg up in an area where maybe you didn't think you had it. It's going to take something like that, because that'll punch Oklahoma in the mouth. I mean, I keep thinking back to the 2012 season. And there was that one where Oklahoma gets tackled deep in their own territory, fumbles the ball, K-State scoops and scores for a touchdown. I mean, a play like that just doesn't happen with a talented Oklahoma team. So you got to, you know, things like that, take advantage of mistakes like that. And that's going to give you an opportunity to come out on top in this one.
Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com, brought to you each and every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Hyakon Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, so what's your prediction? What's your thoughts on this one? Can K-State keep it interesting into the second half, or do you think this Oklahoma is just too much firepower?
I think that Oklahoma has too much firepower right now. I think K-State might be a little bit more competitive than I'm anticipating them being. But also, I just don't think Oklahoma is a team that's going to allow K-State to come into Norman, win this game, and beat them on their own field. I don't like it at all. So I'd probably take Oklahoma, and I would imagine that Oklahoma covering the spread is a little bit too much. I think it's like a 21-point spread. But, you know, I think it might be a game that's close on the scoreboard. But at the end of the day, we kind of sit here and go, you know, K-State was really never in that one.
What happens if K-State does pull off the upset? We talked about how K-State maybe salvaged their season, at least for the time being, with the win against Oklahoma State. But if K-State, let's dream a little bit. If K-State goes to Norman and pulls out a game, Oklahoma turns over three, four times, K-State ball control, they get a special teams touchdown, whatever it takes for them to win, whether they win by 1 point or 14 points, K-State gets a win at Oklahoma. I can't imagine how much confidence that gives this team going into the rest of their schedule, which certainly the remaining games are very winnable if you can win in Norman.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think this team goes to a bowl game if they win this game against Oklahoma, because I still think they're going to beat Kansas regardless.
I agree.
And that would put you at five. And the TCU game is looking somewhat winnable now. You know, Sean Robinson's out for the year. Kevontae Turpin, I would imagine, is probably not going to play against K-State. He's in a lot of hot water right now. And
right. And
overall, this TCU team doesn't look as good as we thought they would be with those two guys. So I think that there's some winnable games without a doubt if they win this game. I do think they go to a bowl game if they beat Oklahoma. Now, it's not going to be anything special. It might be the Armed Forces Bowl on December 23rd. It might be the Cheez-It Bowl, which was formerly the Cactus Bowl that K-State went to last year. Let me tell you how much I would love to cover the Cheez-It Bowl.
Oh, my. Wow.
But, you know, I do think that this season could take a dramatic trend upward if they were to win this game.
It really would. Okay, time for off-the-wall question, Riley. I was going to ask you, but I already did that. I ruined it. I took my question. I used it at the very beginning of the interview about the Mega Millions if you bought a lottery ticket, which you told me you haven't done that yet. So my off-the-wall question for you is lottery-related. $1.6 billion, if you did go buy a ticket and you did win, what would be the first thing you would buy?
Man, I knew you were going to ask that question, and I literally never think about things like this.
Your brother would go out and buy a pair of $240 shoes.
They were $240.
Yeah.
I meant to tell you that.
Yeah, I know. I found out later from Dusty that Parker, it was $240, not $200. So,
yeah. Wow. Yes, because that's so much better.
Yes. You're right.
Man, I think it's boring. I think I'd buy a new car. Not that I don't like my car. I just, you got to get a new car. That's kind of what you got to do. And then, like, I would probably take a good chunk of money. Never mind. Get rid of the car. I'm going to take the money, and I'm going to go into our office, and I'm going to vamp it up. Like, we're currently, like, painting and putting carpet down and everything in our office right now, but, like, I would be putting TVs on the wall, all sorts of things in our office. I can't even think of what I'd do to it, but I'd just make it, like, really, really cool.
Interesting.
That's what I want to do.
Interesting. Interesting. What type of car would you get if you got a car? Money's not an object. Whatever car in the world you want, what would it be?
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I drive, like, a 2012 Chevy Impala. And, like, for real, I'd probably just get, like, a 2018 or 19 Chevy Impala. Like, exactly what I have, but just new. Because I love that car.
Wow.
I'm not into, like, Lamborghini or Ferrari or anything like that. I just want, like, a nice car.
See, and I think your brother would probably not go with the Impala. I'm just guessing, since he pays $240 for shoes,
he might get
the old Lamborghini or something, the Porsche. I don't know what he would get, but
I might buy a Rolls Royce just because I hear those are cool.
Yeah, and then just kind of rub it in.
I'm told that's what the kids are into.
Really, the young kids are into the Rolls Royces.
Not a lot of
young people can afford the Rolls Royce, but
exactly.
They win the lottery, you can afford whatever you want. Well, good luck if you do buy the ticket, and do remember your radio friends out here in North Central Kansas if you do win the lottery. Hey, man, appreciate the time as always. Have fun. Have a safe trip to Norman, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Great. Sounds good.
Take care, man. That's Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. He's with us every single Tuesday. Brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.